Blog Talk Radio.
Jehovah Rapha. We're convicted as who you are. We're convicted as who you are. We're convicted, Lord. We're convicted, Lord.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. The enemy tried to stop us from transmitting today, but you know what? Greater is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carl A. Ramos Jr. of The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, your host, here on Blog Talk Radio. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. You can call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Today is Sunday, and we are dealing with the Bible mysteries, the name of God. Today, we're looking for Jehovah Rapha. The questions we have is, what does it mean? Where can we find it? in the Bible. Why was God called Jehovah Rapha? Hallelujah. And you only have to answer number one. What does it mean? If you do get it correct, the church will know you are a beautiful accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle, it was a temporary location because when the cloud would take it down, and they would follow the cloud day. When the cloud stopped, they will rebuild the temple, and they'll continue the services. The tabernacle was also known as the tabernacle of the congregation, Moses' tent, the tent of meetings, different names, and God spoke to them from the mercy seat. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So in this pamphlet, the different instruments that are in there, the colors, and some of the information that's there, and help you to understand that some symbolism there point to Jesus Christ. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. If you are a repeat caller with the correct answer, you will get that. You will get a breakdown of the Our Father prayer, 12 rooms in your personal house of prayer. And you have 12 rooms that we're going to specify. We're going to talk about it, color code it, and it'll help you understand. When the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And when Jesus began to teach them, he took this Our Father prayer, which we say Jesus prayer, but in reality, when you want to see Jesus praying to the Father, you should look at the Gospel of John, chapter 17. That's the prayer of Jesus. The prayer that we're talking about, the Our Father prayer, that's our prayer. Jesus told the disciples, when you pray, say, Our Father. So God, Our Father, glory be to the Lord. Talking about the mysteries of the Bible. You know, sometimes people read certain passages and they say the word of God contradicts himself. The word of God does not contradict himself. The word of God reveals itself. And if you study, you would come up with the answers to some of these mysteries that are there in the Bible. Glory be to. And we're looking at Jehovah Jireh. What does Jehovah Jireh mean? Where in the Bible do we find it? And why was God called Jehovah Rapha? Hallelujah. Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so you could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number one to be kept to this studio. We'll see the phone number and a raised hand, and I know that you're trying to call us. Hallelujah. We're going to be Jehovah Shama. So something to look over Shama. Thank you, Jesus. This week we deal with Jehovah Rapha. Why was that name given to God, Jehovah Rapha? Why was he called Jehovah Rapha? Where can we find it in the Bible? Hallelujah. And what does it mean? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read an excerpt from the information that we got, the Bible information. Glory be to the Lord. From a dear brother. And I'm going to share that with you as I read it through, but I'm going to skip over the words which gives you the revelation or the answers to the questions, because I want you to study, figure it out for yourself. I don't really want to give you the answers, you know, because then what's going to happen is how you're going to learn if somebody gives you the answers. So Paul told Timothy, study yourself, approve unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Remember three questions. First one is the one that's going to give you the reward from the church. Glory be. Let's go into this scripture. Let's go into this outline that we have regarding Jehovah Rapha. So the question is, number one, what does Jehovah Rapha mean? Is one of God's many names in the Bible. Each name describes a particular aspect of his character. Frequently used names for God in the Old Testament include Elohim, God Most High, Adonai, Lord, Master, and El Shaddai, God Almighty. The most frequent used name of all is Yahweh, the personal Old Testament. By some accounts, there are at least 100 or more names or titles for God in the Bible. You can find it at Exodus 15:26. I'm going to read what it says there, but let me read a little bit better. In Hebrew, Rapha means blank. So Jehovah Rapha means blank. This name for God appears for the first time in the Bible in Exodus 15:26. God told the Israelites, and here we go. Where we find it for the first time is Exodus 15:26. Let's read that. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who blanked you, Jehovah Rapha. So he says, for I am the Lord, Jehovah Rapha. But what does Jehovah Rapha mean? That's what we're looking for. God had just delivered Israelites out of Egypt slavery, miraculously bringing them through the Red Sea on dry land. Now this large caravan of people and animals was in the wilderness of Shur, S-H-U-R, Shur. Almost 3 days in this wilderness, unable to find water, they were desperate. Then they came to the Bitter River. That's what they named it after they found that the water there was unfit to drink, in verse 15:23. They came to their leader, Moses, demanding water. Moses turned to God, who told them to throw the branch of a particular tree into the river. Moses did so, and the waters became fresh. Besides the basic meaning of blank, the word Rapha can mean to restore or to mend. So Jehovah Rapha can mean the Lord who restores or the Lord who fixes broken things. Jehovah Rapha in the Old Testament. At the Bitter River, God promised to bring healing and restoration to his people if they would be faithful to him. And that promise is repeated throughout the Old Testament. Here are just a few examples. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Bless the Lord, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Psalms 103:2-5. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. Jeremiah 33:6. But let's see what God does in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, the God blank, the God who fixes broken things. Matthew says of Jesus, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. Jesus spent his time with us on earth, healing people physically and forgiving their sins. He healed a paralyzed man in Mark 2, 5 to 12. He healed a leper in Matthew 8, 1 through 4, Matthew 9, 27, 31. He healed two men possessed of demons, Matthew 8, 28, 34. He healed 10 leopards, Luke 17, 11 to 17. He healed a man born blind, Luke 9, 1 to 12. He healed his mother-in-law, Matthew 8, 14 and 15. He healed and many others. He raised the dead to life. He raised Lazarus, John 11, 3 to 44. He raised the widow's son, Luke 7, 11 to 14. And he raised a little girl, Jairus' daughter. Remember Jairus' daughter? Matthew 9, 18 to 26. Jesus forgave sins in Matthew 9, 1 and 2, Luke 5, 20, Luke 7, 47 and 48. He healed spiritually. Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, the God who fixes what is broken. Jehovah Rapha in our day. As these verses from the Old and New Testament clearly show, God's healing touch deals with much more than physical sickness. God restores us physically, spiritually, and emotionally. We can call on Jehovah Rapha today. He is still ready to fix whatever is broken in our lives. If there is something in your life that needs healing, you can come to him with the words of Jeremiah 17 and 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise. Hallelujah. So what does Jehovah Rapha mean? What does Jehovah Rapha mean? We saw that we found it in Exodus 15, 26. And I'm going to read that to you once again. Exodus 15, 26 from the King James Bible. It says, and said, talking about God talking to the people, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear, put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. So you ask the question is, you know, what diseases did God put on the Egyptians? Do you remember the 10 plagues that came upon Egypt because Pharaoh refused to let the people go? First, the Nile turned red as blood. So now what happens with the water that's turning red? You know, scientists now are saying that was a organism that caused the redness color and caused all that problem. But, you know, I rather believe what the Bible said. The Bible said when Moses put his staff by the water, it turned into blood. So everything that was inside that river was dead, would die, because it was blood. It was not water. They couldn't get the animals that were there, the insects that were there, they couldn't get no oxygen. So everything would die. You remember the frogs coming into land? They left their establishment. They left their water because the water was not good. So the frogs came to the land. Remember the human beings? And the animals have boils, die from the diseases. And after they die, what happened? The flies came, the insects came, the disease came upon the people because there was so much death all around the camp. Then eventually God said, look, one more plague if you don't release my people. Let my people go. And God just wanted them to go 3 days' journey so they could worship him. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He would not let the people go. So God caused a lamb to be sacrificed. Everyone was to put the blood on the doorposts and the lentils. Everyone of Israel. Because his destiny was coming. And he was going to come upon the firstborn of every family, whether they were Jewish or Egyptians. And the firstborn would die. Pharaoh's son died. And it caused Pharaoh to humble himself and to allow the people to leave. And Israel left Egypt with abundance of the jewelry from the people, because the ladies there was able to get all the gold and silver from the people that was there in Egypt. And the people was set free. They celebrate the Passover even today. The death angel passed over their house. Why? This is where the rabbis seem to falter. The death angel passed over the house, you know, and they celebrate the Passover, but they don't understand that it was because the blood of the lamb was placed upon the doorposts and the lentils. So when the death angel saw the blood, he passed over the house. So in these days, we see in the New Testament that sin is what separates us from God, and we was all to die. But because God sent forth his son to be a replacement for us, he died. He gave his life. He shed his blood for our redemption. He paid the price for the atonement, my brother and sister. There's nothing that anyone could do with the animal. The animal is only good for 1 year. But the lamb, God, an eternal sacrifice that he did. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as Yeshua HaMashiach, apply to your pulse and heals your heart. And when the death angel come, you're not going to be away from God. You're going to be close to God, because the Passover was given already. Jesus Christ, he's our Passover lamb. If you remember correctly, when Jesus came to the Jordan River, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Hallelujah. And God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that their seed, singular, S-E-E-D, their, and Jesus Christ, he did as the prophet said. He died. He was buried, but he also resurrected on the third day. And because he resurrected, we shall be raised. He is our Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. He's the one who took our place. He's the one that takes our broken heart and mends it and puts it together again. When we're going through suffering and turmoil, he comes in and he massages our heart. He puts it together again the way he created it from the beginning. He's not going to let you, you know. The Bible says sorrow comes at night, but joy comes in the morning. So that, yes, there is some sorrow that we're going to go through. There are some trials and tribulations that we're going to go through. But at the end, when we go before the judgment seat of Christ, and then we're going to celebrate the Seder meal, we're going to celebrate the Lamb's wedding feast, and Jesus Christ comes back to rescue the remnant of Israel, he comes to Mount Olivet with his army, which is us and the angels, and we won't have to lift up a finger to fight, because from the breath of his mouth, he's going to destroy everyone who's against God. So what does Jehovah Rapha mean? What does Jehovah Rapha mean? Where can we find it in the Bible? Well, we looked at it in Exodus 15:26. In Exodus 15:26, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why was God called Jehovah Rapha? Why was God called Jehovah Rapha? Because you read it in Genesis 15:26, God heals all your diseases. He's not going to put the diseases of the Egyptians upon you. So brothers and sisters, if you are have some ailment or something, give it unto the Lord in prayer. Trust him. Look, I work at 9/11 and I came down twice with Hodgkin's lymphoma, cancer twice. But my pastor, Dennis Bloom from Shawnee Tabernacle up in the Toby Hanna, Pennsylvania, he said, don't look at your circumstances. Begin thanking God for your healing. And I followed that instructions because I knew that was sound instructions. And I began thanking God for my healing. And yes, I began the treatment, but didn't have to complete it because after certain weeks, the doctor said they couldn't find no more cancer. It was in remission. It was gone. I had two battles of it, and twice the Lord healed me from this disease. Not because of anything that I have done. It's because of who he is. He is Jehovah Rapha. And I depended, I trusted in him. He took the circumstances of my illness, and he turned it around. The Bible says in Romans, all things work together for good for them that are called and ordained and anointed. All things work together for good. So what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. No weapon that is formed shall prosper. Now the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard. But I heard teachers of the Bible, when they come in the wrong place. The way to read that verse is, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against the walls of the enemy. So the emphasis is what God has done, what God could do, not what the enemy could do. The other way around, with the comma is in the wrong place. It says, when the enemy comes in like a flood. The enemy cannot come as a flood. He is nobody. He is nothing compared to God. God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth speak of God's handiwork. God spoke the worlds into existence. God is the one who breathed the spirit into man, and man became a living soul. The only thing that the enemy could do, tempt you and suggest you so you could falter in your faith, but he cannot do anything to overcome the enemy. The Bible, Jesus said in John 10:10, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came to give us life and life more abundantly. So see the difference there? No matter what the enemy try, Christ is victorious. He is victorious because he resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, my brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, that's the gospel. We don't want to preach nothing else but the gospel of the Lord. Everything that Christ did. And Revelation tells us that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. What does Rapha mean? What does it mean to you? And now what does it mean? Where could we find it? We said Exodus 15:26. I was a cause of Rapha because he said he would not put any of the diseases upon us like he did the Egyptians. We know that he's talking to the Jewish people, but he's also talking to us. We are his children. We are the apple of his eye. We are the elect. So what he promised Israel is also promised to us because of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you a little disclaimer, a little bit itinerary of the church. The disclaimer is some of the songs that we play on this program do not belong to Pastor Carlos Ramos. They do not belong to the church, the way, the truth, the life. Do not belong to radio. However, because we bought your CDs, DVDs, and the albums, in it we have permission to play the songs that we play. And we try to play songs that are appropriate for the program that we have in the league. The itinerary of the church is that every Sunday at 1 o'clock p.m., we dinner with the Bible mysteries. On Tuesday, 7 p.m., we dinner with intercessory prayer. On Thursdays, we dinner with Bible study. We're looking at the difference between the sacrament of God, which is in two phases. Phase number one is the rapture. Phase number two is the return. We're still in the rapture section, and we're talking about that the rapture, according to the scripture, would occur before the seven-year tribulation. That's what we're going to study on Thursday. Glory be to the Lord. Last week, we was not able to do the intercessory prayer, a Bible study due to some other medical conditions that occur. And we have to take care of those things. And unfortunately, we were not able to follow through to do the programs, but it's wonderful. It makes a way out of no way. And so that's why we're here today, again, with the Bible mystery, the names of God, Jehovah Rapha. What does it mean, Jehovah Rapha? Glory, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Where could we find Jehovah Rapha? Well, we looked it over at Exodus 15:26, and we looked at the New Testament, different verses where we found how Jesus Christ is Jehovah Rapha, and he healed a lot of the people. He healed a paralyzed man, a leper, two blind men, two men possessed of demons, Tapas, a man born blind, Peter's mother-in-law, and many others. He raised Lazarus, the little girl, Mary's daughter. Jesus forgave sins. He healed spiritually. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And in the New Testament, the way we see Jehovah Rapha, it says, these verses from both the Old and the New Testament clearly show God's healing touch dealing with much more than physical sickness. The God who heals restores us physically, spiritually, and emotionally. We can call on Jehovah Rapha today. He is still ready to fix whatever is broken in our lives. If there is something in your life that needs healing, you can come to him with words of Jeremiah. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I love you, my brother. sisters, but I'm not going to give you the answer as to what does Jehovah Rapha mean. I'm not going to give you the answer. I gave you the other two. Next week, we're going to be looking at Jehovah Shammah, and we're going to look for the same three questions. What does Jehovah Shammah mean? Where do we find it in the Bible? Who was God called Jehovah Shammah? And we're going to deal with that next Sunday at 7 p.m. So I would encourage you to invite the family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio 516-418-5944. Press number one to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord will give unto you the desires of your heart. When you follow through, when you deal with it, he said in Exodus 15:26, "If I will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians. For I am Jehovah Rapha." Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is good. You know, and it's real. God loves you so much, and God doesn't want you to be lost. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to understand the things that we're doing, the things that's going on in the world. If you look at the situations of the world, you would understand that things of God, the prophecies of God are being fulfilled even in our eyes. Even in front of our eyes. And we have to understand, my brothers and sisters, that this is no game. God wants a personal relationship with you, with everyone. He doesn't want nobody to be lost. He doesn't. He wants us to be saved, to be part of that feast, the wedding feast of the Lamb. He wants us to be saved, family, to be delivered, to be set free in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be wounded. We don't have to end up where Satan and the devil and the false prophet, false Messiah are going to end up in the lake of fire. We don't have to go there. We don't have to go where the people that take the mark of the beast are going. We don't have to go there. In Christ Jesus, we could be free. We are free in Christ Jesus, one who gave his life for us. He loves us so much that he gave his life for your life. He took upon him our sins so we could be saved, so we could enter into the New Jerusalem. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. He made us priests and kings unto himself. We'll join heir with Christ. We inherit the promises of God. He looked from Abraham to his son Isaac, to his grandson Jacob, and all the patriarchs. You're going to see until the time when Jesus was born in the manger how the threat of salvation, threat of redemption was there for us to fall through, to be saved. God loves you so much. He loves everybody. He loved everybody so much that he put the law, his law into our hearts. So man choose to do what is right and not what is wrong. And if a man does what is right, heaven is his home, because he will learn of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus. Hallelujah. But there's only one mediator between God and man. That's Jesus Christ. So we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You don't have to close your eyes tonight wondering, are you going to make it in? You could have a sweet dream. The Bible promised us in the book of Proverbs, God promised us sweet dreams. And we could go to sleep tonight with a confidence that to be absent from this body is present with the Lord. You don't have to worry about tomorrow because Christ has everything in his hands. You don't have to worry about fulfilling this or fulfilling that. Christ has done it already. All we need to do is have faith and trust Jesus Christ and be repentant towards our Father. We are sorry that we broke his commandments, and we ask for Christ to come into our life to save us. Hallelujah. And he does it, and he seals us with the Spirit unto the day of redemption. Hallelujah. And he marks us, letting the enemy know, this one belongs to me. He don't belong to you. God has called us. He knows us even from my mother's womb. But sometimes people, they follow after the desires of the world. They follow after the desires of the flesh. They follow after what their friends suggest to them, not realizing that the enemy is using the friends. We need to follow Christ. He's the answer for all. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. If you're honest with you, yourself, my brothers and sisters, if you're honest and you ask yourself the question, have I stolen something that doesn't belong to me? Have I been obedient to my parents? Have I become adulterous in worshiping other gods in my mind or in my hands? Have I always been obedient? Yes to any of the questions. In grave danger. Because the Bible says if you've broken one of the commandments, you have broken them all. Only Jesus Christ fulfill the commandments. He did not break one. He followed through with the assignment that God the Father had given unto him. When at the cross, he gave his spirit over to the Father, he said, it is finished. Meaning you and I don't have to do anything for redemption except believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him, receive him. Ask God to forgive you. So tomorrow, if you open your eyes and you're not in this body, you could open your eyes and realize you're in heaven in the presence of God. But if you open your eyes and you in this burning inferno, then you know you made the wrong choice. So we need to partake of what God has given unto us. If you study the Bible, all the covenants, there was always sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed himself, and he gave his life for us in this New Testament covenant. He said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and drink, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is given for the remission of sins of many. Nobody can take that away. He brought in that new covenant the New Testament covenant with his life, the shedding of the blood. It's the only way that we could make it in is through Jesus Christ. For a lamb, you cannot offer a cow or a dog or a horse. You cannot offer an animal. It ain't going to work. God is not accepting that any longer. If you read the book of Hebrews, God the Father is not accepting animal sacrifice no more. He told Israel in Isaiah chapter 1 through 6, put away your afflictions. It stinks in my nostrils. Why did God tell Israel not to sacrifice any longer? Because they will sacrifice one day, the next day they'll be up doing breaking the law again. So God put away that. It says they cannot fulfill it, but Jesus Christ fulfill it. He fulfill every dot and tittle of the law. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So today you have an opportunity, my brothers and sisters, if you don't know Christ, in a moment you could close your eyes and speak to him sincerely from your heart. You don't need to follow a religious pattern and follow me as we pray. No, you don't need that. Be honest with yourself. Be sincere with God. Open your heart unto him. If you shed a tear, shed a tear. If you laugh, laugh. But be honest with God. And God will save you because he loves you very much. He knows that this flesh, there's no good thing in this flesh. The enemy is trying to keep you away from your eternal state in Christ Jesus, salvation. He's been judged already, and he knows that he's going to be going into the lake of fire very soon. So he wants to take as many people with him as possible. But you don't have to be left behind. Deal with the seventh revelation. You have to deal with the Antichrist or with the false Messiah. Because in prayer, fasting, meditation upon the word of the Lord, God tells you to do, is a key to your eternal state in Jesus Christ. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done, you would have eternal life. Give your life over to the Lord. Repent of your sins. Confess your sins to the Lord. And from this moment on, turn around 180 degrees. Turn around. If you was walking one way, now you're walking a different way. If you was a thief, you're no longer a thief. The Bible is in 1 Corinthians 5:17. They that are in Christ are a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the 21st verse says, just Christ took upon our sins upon him, that he, without sin, becomes a sinner. For us who are unrighteous, become righteous in him. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, we're down to the last couple of minutes. The phone number here at Blog Talk Radio is 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to speak with the studios. Glory be to the Lord. We're going to be back next Sunday at 7 o'clock with Jehovah Shammah. Where can we find Jehovah Shammah? And why was God called Jehovah Shammah? Glory be to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. On Tuesday, we'll be here at 7 p.m. for intercessory prayer. I would encourage you to invite your friends and neighbors to join us as we pray for Jerusalem. We pray for different nations of the world. My heart's desire, besides following Psalms 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm praying for Haiti. Normally, I visit Haiti twice a year or once a year, depending on the conditions, and help them to overcome their calamity, because what happened in the year of the earthquake, the person who was in charge of the nation, couldn't be saying that Haiti belonged to Satan. And that's a pit lie from the hell, because the Bible says God created all nations. All nations belong to him. So we have to pray for Haiti, because there's a lot of things going on in Haiti. And we just pray for peace. Hallelujah. And so we would encourage you to invite your families and friends and neighbors to join us. Next Thursday at 7 o'clock, we have Bible study. Remember, we're going to be studying the difference between the phase one and phase two. Phase one is the rapture. Phase two is the return of the second coming of Christ. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.